Just a minute. Come in.
Hey. You got those designs ready?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got them. Sorry, I've been doing a lot of, hard designing.
Well, good. Lately. We need the absolute best designs we are for this remake of The Thing. I mean, this is going to be a extraordinary film.
I know.
That will define a generation.
I've been taking, interest in things in nature, and I put it towards my work. You're going to be very, very excited. I'm incredibly excited.
Good, good. Show me what you got.
I can't stand up, but... okay, so, here. All right, this is my first one. This is of the hand. When it separates from the body and then comes after him, this is the hand thing. And as you can see, it has pink, perfect pink lips, and a cute button nose. It's awesome. It looks hot.
That's a vagina.
What? I told you, I've been taking things from nature. It's not a vagina.
That is a straight up vagina.
Okay, all right. Okay, you don't like the hand. I can work on that now. Okay, so here is going to be when he splits apart. Okay. Now, as you can see, his skin is splitting apart, and he has a bit of a landing strip shaved on his vulva, and that's I just call it that.
But are you serious?
But it.
That's just a vagina, again.
Well, this is... Look at this. Whenever it gets excited, it leaks. See? Look at that frothy goodness. I mean, that's scary as hell.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
No. I'm terrified of that. And turned on a little bit. So... And look. Look at how, scary that is. I mean, I've been doing some hard research. Because I remember looking at 1982's The Thing, and I go, not enough vaginas.
So it is a vagina.
What? I shouldn't have said that. I mean, listen. This is my wall. Let me turn on the light. This is my wall of vaginas. This is... Playboys from 1952 all the way up to Never Now, because they're not here. These are scary. Look at those bushes.
I'm sorry. I need to leave.
No, you. Well,
you're
fired. Can you hand me?
You're fired.
Can you hand me that sock in the corner there? I gotta clean my desk.
This thing is rock hard.
Oh, well. I guess I'll just use the one on my feet. All right. Did I show you the foot thing? Here, click.
No, I don't want to see the foot
thing.
There
it is. Look at
that thing. I'm leaving.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
All right. Do we stop it or we just keep going? Hey everyone, and welcome to the Cat Scare Podcast. I'm Campbell.
I'm Michael.
And tonight we are watching the greatest prequel, requel ever made, The Thing 2011. Mm-hmm. That thing you do was a good movie.
You know what that thing does.
I know exactly what that slaps it on you, the thing.
That thing put me to sleep.
Yeah, that. But seriously, this movie was amazing, right?
No.
Michael, no. It's amazing.
No, it's not very often that we have films that have us
torn apart.
Kind of opposite sides.
I mean, I will say this. I definitely, at the beginning, I was like, I kind of like this. This is kind of creepy. It looks really good. I mean, you can't say, the cinematography's bad. I like the characters. They had some Game of Thrones people in there. I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I think she's sexy. Even are, and they had the guy
hold on.
Not Another Teen Movie, the preppy one. Wait.
You liked her?
I love Mary. She is great. Like, she's subtle.
Did we watch the same movie?
She is
movie?
So good in this movie. And she's good in all
Dear
movies.
Dear God, no. No. No.
What? I don't get it. I don't know how. Like, she actually, like, portrays emotions. She's better than Kristen Stewart.
She... Okay, that's a low bar.
She's gotten better. Kristen Stewart's gotten better. I mean, don't you remember Underwater?
Exactly.
She was whipped. She portrayed wetness. Still, my favorite part of that is where she's in that other cabin or whatever underwater, and she keeps grabbing things off the wall like she's going to make something, but does nothing. She just throws them. She's like, I'm going to make a fire axe that'll take care of this, and then she just throws it away. And it's just 10-minute montage of that. Like, she just gives up.
I don't remember much about Underwater.
No one should. But, like, I'm surprised it wasn't her, like, trying to open up a can of Coke, getting halfway there, and then stopping. Nope, can't do that.
Or just opens up a can but doesn't drink it, and he just puts it down.
Son of a bitch! That's what's wrong with America today.
He's like, I don't like it when it's really fizzy when I open it up, so I'm going to let it sit.
I like to open my can of Coke up and then leave it in the refrigerator for 3 days and then drink it afterwards. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I really want a Coke that's like the gummy Coke bottles.
Oh, but I love the gummy Coke bottles. They're so good.
But I want an actual Coke like that.
So the flavor of gummies. You want your animal fat inside of your Coca-Cola.
Yes, inject it.
Inject it right in. So, hey, listen, that's the best part of a steak, right? The animal fat. So we watched this movie, and once again, we both have different opinions on it. Why do you hate it so much, Michael?
I mean, honestly, the biggest thing, it was just boring. Like, the thing at night, what year was it?
1982.
The thing, 1982, like, I don't know, it has the DNA of a slow film, but it doesn't feel slow to me at all. In fact, like, right from the very beginning, it sets up things and just leaves, like, questions. And you're like, yeah, they do their little bit of, like, exposition of, like, where they are and who they are and what they're doing and all that. But, like, I don't know, they kind of get right into it. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I can see why you think this is slow, but I like the beginning part the best. I like the first act because, you know, it starts out with those Norwegians going on their little, you know, treaded cart through the Antarctic, and they're searching for a signal. They found a signal, and I just like kind of how it built that tension up as they're going along, because the other guys don't seem to give two shits about it. The other one is the one that's trying to find the noise. Now it gets interrupted by terrible CGI, which kind of takes me out of it a little bit. And that's probably the downfall of this film, is the terrible CGI.
Honestly, to me, it, like, yeah, the CGI isn't always the greatest, but I also don't think it's that bad. I think it's more that everything is so uninspired.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they copy wholeheartedly from a lot of what we saw in the 1982 film, with some added twists, like instead of it being like blood jumping, you know, with fire, they try to find fillings. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, they're like, well, if you don't have fillings and you are a normal human being,
it's too bad that the paranoia of the film doesn't. I feel like that is genuinely the only scene where there's
Correct.
A bit of tension. Of, like, who is like who's infected or is taken over. That's it. When that is the identity of the thing, it is that paranoia.
Well, I see a lot of people who are champions of this film. They try to put it this way when it comes to this movie, is because it's a prequel that the thing has not learned a lot of its techniques it uses whenever it goes over to the other camp. And so there's a bit of an arc with the thing's character from whenever it starts to when it finishes in that movie. And that's true to be told. It wouldn't know 100% what the aliens that are surrounds it now are going to do. All it knows is that it was taking an ice nap, and then someone shoved a drill in its face or something. And then it blew up. Another thing I don't like is when it blew up out of the ice. Like, there could have been a really cool practical effect of it slowly, like, cracking and creaking and getting out of the ice, instead of it going from 0 to 100 and then flying through the roof.
Well, you know, they got to get their loud noise.
I know.
They got to get their loud jump scare. People are not paying as much attention. That's why, you know, you had right before that little cat scare.
Love a cat scare. It's the reason why we named it this. Yeah. And not because every other name was taken.
You know, all the tension building, cut the sound, and then just the guy, hey,
there's something here.
Yeah, just really loud. Or, yeah, and he's like, Jesus, man, don't sneak up behind me like that.
Yeah, I'm just here, I'm fondling the ice, you know, realizing we're going to be rich and not dead. And then, like, what about the people? You know, they originally it was stated that that was a Norwegian camp, but yet we are full of Americans and British people and a couple of Swedes or Norwegians. I don't know what you call them. And it's a very diverse group of people compared to what you would have thought.
I mean, there's a lot more people, but it both helped, like, for some things and didn't help in others. Like, obviously, having this many more people, you can have more deaths, more fodder, which is always cool to see. Like, especially for something like this, where a big thing about the original that, you know, has stuck, you know, over time was its body horror.
Yeah.
And so you've just got more people that you can do that stuff with, even though most of the people don't have a lot of, like cool things happen to them. It's more like as if they just get stabbed.
Yeah.
Like it's little tendrils.
Like rip skin off things. Or something.
Yeah, just like stabbing through them. And that's about it for them.
I kind of wish the blonde American guy played by the Not Another Teen Movie would have got that happen to him, but it would have ripped his dick off just for fun. That would have been funny. Just like, and then it turns into a little thing dick. Gross spider legs. It's flopping around. Like, where?
That actually would have been great.
That would have been great.
I would have listened to that.
You know, and that's the one thing about this movie that I think if it had a true director of horror, not the guy they got, which is a music video director, some French guy or something like that.
Well, yeah, if I just on his Wikipedia, if I click his name, it's very small.
Very small. If they would have got a true director, like somebody who could have a vision, like a Andy Muschietti, you know, who did It, or even a Ari Aster, somebody who's going to really bring out the reason the thing is scary is because of the paranoia. I think that you could have had the opportunity for some fucking horrible imagery. And originally they were going to do practical effects through the whole thing, because why wouldn't you? You know, it's always been... that's the thing everybody loves about it, is the practical effects. But I think they did not even attempt to live up to that. I think they already knew they were going to be behind the eight ball. But if somebody had some fucking gonads, they would have really done some weird things in this movie.
Well, and I'm not, like, against, you know, special effects. I mean, when special effects are done well and they have their place, it can really enhance the film. Like, you know, we've talked about this before, but with practical effects, a lot of the, like especially gore works very well because these are, like, you see it as a tangible thing.
Yes.
That, and it enhances that realism. But anything like motion, anything like that, super stiff or super robotic or stop motion.
Yeah.
You know, just a limitation of it. Obviously, now as, like, the, like, animatronics and stuff, or even puppets have gotten better, you're able to, like, you know, do it a little better, but I don't know, it just, at least at that time, special effects could really help in terms of being able to have these effects on a grand scale mm-hmm. with motion.
Yeah, instead of what we...
But it still doesn't really do that.
Instead of what we got were half human, half vagina spider people who look like plastic. So there was a couple of scenes there, and I'm like, that's... And they, like, put the guy's face on it, you know? But see, yeah. In practical effects, you could physically have the guy there with his face stretched out with some clay or whatever they do, rubber, and it would look creepy as fuck. Instead, it's... Like, they took a picture of him from his, like, Thanksgiving vacation and, like, took it out and put it on top of this plastic creature. And, yeah. You know, their vagina opened up and they were going to try to eat him.
I also have to wonder, like, I don't know much about this film as far as its production, but I wonder how much of it was also done with practical
effects. A lot of it.
And then gone over. If I were to think of the best example of having good practical effects, but then ruining it with CG, two things come to mind. Jurassic World,
mm-hmm.
which, like, a lot of the dinosaur stuff actually had great practical effects and animatronics. And then they covered it over with CG, and it just... made this whole layer of, like, plastic,
yeah,
it ruined it.
I get it. They do good work. You know, if you have the budget, you can get really, really good CGI. But
and then the other thing I could think of, that Tom Cruise movie, I forget which one, but where he jumps out of the airplane into a storm. But, like, the stunt itself, he actually did.
Yeah,
he jumped out of this plane and did all these
Edge of Tomorrow.
It's like it. I don't remember.
Okay.
Which one?
He jumps out of an airplane in every movie now. If it was Cocktail 2, he would jump out the airplane and be like, ha, 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 what do you want to make?
There's an action scene in the air. There's, like, other people, and he's fighting people in the air.
Probably like one of the Jack Ryan movies or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, like, the stunt itself is real. The choreography and stuff in the air, the camera... That's all real. And then in the movie, they put him in, like, a storm, you know, to add to the event. Yeah. But it made the entire thing look fake. Like, as if they were probably just in a green screen room and nobody knew that stunt was real.
Well, you know what? I think I figured out what would have made the thing 2011 much better. Tom Cruise. He'd be jumping out of an airplane... with the thing on his back, and he's like, you want to get nuts? Let's do it! You know? Because that's what he's like. He'd be jumping across caverns. You know? He's great. Mm. Riding a motorcycle with a thing on his back. I guess it would become a buddy cop comedy then. You know? I'm like, stop eating my friends!
I just can't help but imagine, like, movies like this, they put a, almost like a modern... like, action star in it, and so they give him the same quippy lines, and just be like, well, that just happened.
Um,
or like, they kill you know, supposedly their best friend, and there's like,
you're gonna make another one, right? Hey, listen, any day, and then you could do The Rock and Vin Diesel are in it, and then we got, you got a multi-million-dollar hit, you know?
Yeah.
The Rock would be like, finally, this thing is dead! And Vin Diesel would be like, it's all about family.
That was a really good Rock.
It's all about family thing. I got a wife beat on. Osama. Vin Diesel.
We should talk about this movie.
Why talk about this movie? No, I'm kidding. All right, so do we want to do a talk about the plot? Because I watched this a week ago, and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, let's just go off of Wikipedia. Okay. What they got. I mean, like, it's not much, and most of what happens, like, generally, is the same kind of thing that happens in the sequel. Okay. Original.
That's fine.
But there's enough little differences. It is kind of like the first one to me, where a lot of these scenes can be like moved to different spots in my head.
Except for the beginning. That's it. Then they could put them anywhere.
The beginning where they crash their vehicle vertically down the light hole. How'd they get out?
That's a good question, because not only are these people scientists, but they are military, ex-military. They probably had those hook things, like in Call of Duty, where you jumped on the ice wall and you're going, and climb up it. And those are big boys. Those Norwegian people are big boys.
Yeah.
And I know that skinny guy didn't crawl up there and like say, here, grab the rope. You know? Okay, so let's read the plot. You reading it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
Yay! Okay.
All right. In the winter of 1982...
Cold.
An alien spacecraft and a nearby alien body is discovered buried in Antarctic ice by members of the Norwegian research station Thule.
Thule. My name is Gozer.
What?
You know.
Is that
you
a
can call me Gozer, but I go by Zool. Thule? Sorry.
Gozer. I hardly know her.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Good one. See, you're getting ready, man. I already know. You're going to be good.
Yeah, I was born with that. That's not anything new. Anyways, American paleontologist Kate Lloyd is recruited by Dr. Sander Halvorsen.
Good name.
And assistant Adam Finch. To investigate. They fly to Thule in a helicopter with pilots Sam Carter and Derek Jameson and crewman Griggs.
He's the already sleepy one, right?
There's a lot of names being thrown
out.
Yes,
the Americans are cool, they like sports, and they do this every day. Even ones passed out sleeping, having dreams.
They meet station chief Edvard Vulnia.
Edvard Vulnia.
Yeah, along with his team, Juliet, Olav, Carl, Jonas, Henrik, Colin, Peter, Lars, and Lars's dog.
Lars' dog gets, like, billing? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Octoliber.
The body is excavated in a block of ice and returned to the Thule station. During a party, Jameson sees the alien burst from the ice block. Searching for the alien, the team finds Lars's dog dead.
And Lars is like, no, my dog! And cries and...
Well, hold on, real quick.
Humps it.
Was Lars the one that they said couldn't talk?
I thought he could talk. He just couldn't... He just talked more to his dogs than he did everybody else. He is a real introvert.
I might have misunderstood that. I thought they were saying that
I couldn't speak English.
Lars couldn't talk.
Like, a couple of them don't speak English.
Oh.
I think that may have been mostly what they were talking. Maybe not. Who knows? Shit, he could have been blind and mute, and honestly, I would forget who he is. Mm-hmm. Unless there was a scene where he was reading the emergency, like, the exit map, and he was doing it in Braille, then I would have remembered.
Anyways,
Well, the reason I thought is because I actually thought that there was a cool, like, it, I thought it was like a hint, you know, to the audience that, like, when Lars did get taken over, that he spoke, and I was like,
he can speak!
But then nobody reacted to it, and then Lars wasn't even the thing in it, so I was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know if the movie just forgot, or if I misunderstood.
Can I also, and we touched on it briefly, but before we go past this, where the block of ice explodes.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Like, what was that? Why did
it
that...
It had just enough. Had just enough room. It just...
Bah! Yeah, and he's like... And then I would go around, like, making a snow cone out of it. Because you know that's... It's shredded ice. I mean...
Yeah.
They destroyed it. I mean, once again... They were hurrying through this thing. They were trying to push the thing into this film quickly.
Well, you say quickly, but it... I mean... Oh, am I frozen for you? You were frozen for me for a second.
Oh, my God. That was weird. Okay, I'm going. Hello? Anyway, yeah, it just was really weird. A weird decision that was made to let the alien go from ice to explosion of ice. And then, like, to be able, as a creature, to get up and start thinging people left and right and running for safety. I just felt a little unbelievable, you know?
Well, there. So, first of all, it took a lot longer than you probably remember. It took about 40 minutes for it to come out of the ice.
Yeah, it took a long time to get out of the ice, yes. But I'm talking about, like, once it got out the ice, all of a sudden, it is super strong, super fast, turns into a big cockroach thing, and then starts thanging people that runs into it.
It doesn't turn into a cockroach thing.
Yeah, remember? Because it's stabbing through the cabin when they like, corner it in the cabin and burn it? Like, it's...
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that... That's just how it didn't turn into anything. That's just how it was.
So that's just the creature it is.
That's the vagina creature.
It's with claws.
Yeah. Which, that's another issue that I have. Part of what I think works so well about the thing is the fact that you never actually see its true form.
Mm-hmm. That's all, yeah. I understand.
It, you know, it has that sense of, like, it could be anything. It could look like me, it could look like you, it could look like the dog, it could look like a bug, it could just be some kind of bug thing. Obviously, from the original, we saw the thing of ice, so it had to have had a form that was in that ice.
Yeah.
And obviously it was big, but I think just how much we saw it, and especially later on, when we go into the freaking alien ship. So dumb.
It's like a giant sunflower trying to attack them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get... They're like, that's fucking scary. No, that's so stupid. They should have... I guess the reason why... It was under the ice, right? So they had to show you a reason why there was a big hole, right? Isn't that why they did that at the end?
I mean, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
they're like,
we saw the ice. There was a big, big slab of ice.
Yeah.
With a big hole in it. So, I get it. I just wish that, and maybe it's because I don't really care for the design that they went with, but I just feel like it loses a bit of its, like,
mystique.
Yeah, that's actually the word I was thinking of.
Yeah, it did. Once they got, like, the coolest thing about this movie is just the awe in the people when they finally go down that hole and they show them the ship. And, like, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. Because I think that would be, like, a pretty cool moment if you were these people. But going back to the ship, and once again, the thing is what it is, right? and yet it has this nice ass spaceship, and I'm assuming that is at the controls going like blah 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 blah
blah blah blah. Oh, is that, that's another thing. The thing obviously has a good bit of intelligence.
Yes.
But by giving it this super monster form that is just like flailing about, really, it doesn't seem as if the thing is thinking. Now, like, whenever it's in human form, you could see it kind of like be thinking it. Yeah. In some moments where it's like, shit, am I about to get caught?
Man, I'll do this. I'll make him think it's not me. But you know what we did back last summer? And the girl's like, we never even knew each other. Kill him! Damn it!
Yeah.
Just being like, what's my middle name, guys?
It makes it very clear that like this stuff was designed by humans.
Mm-hmm.
And just made to seem alien, rather than being something that actually makes sense.
Like, that's another thing, too. Like, I understand the thing can probably get memories, maybe? But true...
Well, yeah, it makes a perfect copy.
Okay. So it knows...
whoever it...
It knows about, like, a third grade dance when Becky Sue would not dance with it. It knows its social security number. It knows its address. You know, does it grow a penis bigger or shorter? I don't know. I imagine bigger.
Perfect copy.
Perfect copy. Dick. Okay. But that's what I would do. I'd be like, oh, hey, what's up, Henrik? What's your middle name? And like reaches for his wallet. Duh, I knew it. I'm not the thing. That's just what I think. I'm like, I would immediately be like, we've known each other for a long time, right? Hey, remember that baseball game we went to 5 years ago? Yeah, man, it was great. It was a great day at the ballpark. What did I eat? It's like, I don't fucking know what you ate. It's a long time ago. You're the fucking thing. You know, that'd be mine.
And there were some changes that I actually really liked. I don't think they work as well as the original. Like the fillings thing.
I like the fillings thing.
The fact that it can't, it can only copy organic material. Mm-hmm. And so, like, fillings and probably, like, fake eyes, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be able to copy that, and so it would just get rid of it.
Yeah, like,
I thought that was cool. Like, it's not as cool as testing the blood.
Yeah, you know, like Derek's but, Prince Albert. It won't. There's like, oh, someone's Prince Albert's on the ground. You know what Prince Albert is? No. It's a piercing that goes through your dick.
Oh.
What's your Prince Albert doing on the ground? Hey, that's a good way to tell.
Well, one thing I don't think makes sense. Well, actually, out of this. Well. Let's keep reading,
because
they mention it here, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Lars the dog is dead.
Poor Lars.
The alien drags Henrik into itself, spattering blood on Olav. The group kills the alien by igniting spilled fuel beneath it. An autopsy reveals that the alien cells were copying Henrik, which I actually thought was a pretty cool visual.
Yeah.
The I don't know, it was a fake looking visual.
Correct.
But I don't care so much about realism in the CG.
It's really neat. Now they had like an ambiotic sack, you know, and they pulled it off. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
As Carter, Jameson, and Griggs are taking off in that helicopter to take Olav to the medical facility. So it was Olav that I thought, not okay. Lars. I thought Olav, they said, couldn't talk.
Yeah. Do you want to build a snowman? Sorry. Olaf is that. Sorry. You said Olav. Okay. I got it.
As they're taking him to a medical facility, Griggs transforms into the monstrous creature and attacks Olaf.
That's the scene that I always remembered from that movie, was that for some reason. Because he's like, and then all of a sudden it just, he stands up and it rips like half of his face off and the rest of its vagina.
Well, now, like, I remember I was a little confused watching it, but now I'm confused again. Why did Griggs transform?
Because he said, hold on. I don't know.
Because
he must have been affected by the, I don't know. Because they were trying to throw that Olaf because he's sick. It's obviously the thing. So, I have no clue.
I guess at this point, like, I'm still honestly trying to understand the mechanics of the thing. Like, how it actually works.
Yeah, if it bites you, do you immediately turn into it? Does it have to, like, skin to skin, where, you know, where it melts into each other? I don't know.
Well, like, I mean, because of its weird way of, like, it doesn't necessarily, like, make its own disguise.
Mm-hmm.
It will more, like, be, that person will almost be, like, infected.
Yeah, kind of like the
and
the fat guy, you know, the fat guy from the first movie got sick.
Yeah,
but
but also it's able to, like it did with what's his name, Henrik, where it ate him and was rebuilding itself inside.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of questions about exactly how it works. It's like, can there be multiple consciousness?
Can there be, like, when it pulls an arm off to run this way and the arm off, and if they attack those people, can that be three things all working together but still are able to be independent upon itself? You know, if it ripped off four body limbs and it became, I mean, if it was like, you could have five people infected and find people that aren't, you know, but they only do it like one at a time, right? It's not like,
and so, like, obviously the thing also has super, like, super good, like, regenerative abilities. It also doesn't need a super big body to survive. It survives, assumingly almost on a single blood cell.
Yeah.
Like, as long as there's one, if there's one little bit of blood, it can take over.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is its original body this giant thing?
What was it?
If it doesn't actually need to be.
Maybe that is why the ship crashed to begin with. It's because those creatures that you see in the block of ice were getting thinged. And
hold on, might be on maybe
something. Hey, internet, this is podcast theory. but maybe that was the reason. Maybe they crashed, and instead of like letting it take over, it said, "I'm going to kill myself in this ice."
The only thing against that, though, is, you know, in the original, the thing, as a human, was building a ship.
Yes. That would be one of them. Unless it learned from all these different people, you know?
But, like, I mean, I guess it could be perceived different, but I thought the intention was that it was building the ship to escape.
Yeah.
Like, it's, the thing is clearly, like, a cornered animal.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if they probably just let it be, it might have just skedaddled on out of there.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, instead of being like, if they went up and had that meeting and he'd be with the flamethrower and go, "All right, whoever's the thing, I'm going to turn around. And when I count, I'm going to count to 20, and when I turn around, I expect you to be gone." And he'll turn around and go, and they'll be like, "Really? Okay." And just waltz out the door. That'd be great. I kind of would. That would kind of be better, honestly, than what we got. Like, but I still like my game.
I like the ending.
I like my game theory. Like about that though, that could be the case.
No, that definitely could be. That's something that like, and it would work.
Exactly.
Like, with making the thing a more like intergalactic threat.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean, did they, at the end of the movie, did they just go, were the aliens that they killed at the end, were they just, were they more things? Or were, they or did they just slaughter innocent
aliens? I mean, it could be the fact that, like, the thing as a race has a meeting and they're like, every time we replicate somebody, they want to kill us and we can't just live in peace. Why is that? I mean, because truth be told, that thing pretended to be humans for a bit, and they're just like, "Yeah, I'm not it. I'm good. Let me have this brown liquid. Ah, so hot!" And it turns into coffee. Hmm. Enemy of the thing. All right, so where are we at?
So they were taking Olav to the medical facility in the helicopter. And Griggs transforms into a monstrous creature and attacks Olav, causing the helicopter to crash in the mountains. Which I thought right away, I was like, they're not dead.
Oh, no, I knew. Because, I mean, what's his name? The guy who plays Jameson? Jameson?
Yeah, Joel Edgerton. Edgerton.
He's like a poor man's... what's that guy's name that's in all the... Anyway, I don't know. He's like a pretty good actor, but he also has these beady eyes and looks like he should be like a Boston College fan.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody who's in a Notre Dame.
He's definitely like a kind of B-list actor. He's big enough where... Knowing that, like, he supposedly died that soon, it's like, you're not dead.
No,
come
man.
On now.
No. And I mean, and the helicopter crash looked very realistic.
But I do like if a movie does do something like that. So, like, recently, Spy Kids 3. So they had the Spy Kids, like... reboot happened on Netflix.
Okay.
So Spy Kids 3 has been like trending. And they have that scene where just after, you know, the hype of the Lord of the Rings, they have they have Frodo on there.
Oh, Frodo.
Yeah. Who for some reason I'm forgetting his name right now.
That's our boy
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, Elijah Wood.
Yeah, they have him on there, fresh out of the Lord of the Rings. And he's there for, like, a minute. He gets in there, and he's like, I'm the guy. Goes in a room and dies.
Really? Well, you know what? You would then be a big fan of Alien Covenant. Because James Franco makes a 2-second uncredited appearance as the captain of the ship when a sunburst hits their ship and sets him on fire. And he dies.
Okay, listen. A single scene like that doesn't save a movie. Spy Kids 3 is still garbage.
No, of course. I mean, why? And I was actually about to have an argument with you where you're about to compare The Thing and Spy Kids. And the fact that Spy Kids...
No, just,
Spy Kids...
Just that one scene, though.
Yeah.
Like,
is
having the, you know, the balls to do
to
that.
To bring Elijah Wood on set.
Well, like I said, especially... Just after the end of the Lord of the Rings, you know, he's at the height of his career.
That's so they had a Spy Kids reunion. What did they do? Get together and
no, they had a Spy Kids like reboot.
Oh.
On Netflix.
Is it actual
Spy Kids Armageddon?
Oh, is it the kids still from the original movie?
No.
Okay, so it wouldn't be like these guys, old guys, trying to act like kids, and they use computer effects to turn them young again.
It probably would be if they did that. It would look worse.
All right. I did not wash my hands. So,
disgusting.
It's all right. It's just my own balls. It's okay. That's how you pee, right? You grip your balls from the bottom and aim it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, you grip the balls?
Yeah.
So
I cradle my dick on my balls and bounce it up and down when I'm peeing. I may keep that in. So we had the helicopter crash, and then we know our Americans are somewhere. They're not dead.
We definitely not dead.
Did they get thanged? Who knows? But now we have to worry about the paranoia in which beautiful Mary Elizabeth Winstead starts finding fillings laying in showers.
You know, most people know her for being like Ramona, Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
I know her from Sky High.
Oh, and I know her from Final Destination 3. She was the only Final Destination girl that actually could be sad and not look stupid. So.
Well, I wish she could have taken that into this film.
I love her.
Anyways.
If you're listening to Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I will marry you. And you will be not satisfied.
All right, anyways. Kate discovers dental fillings in a bloodied shower and tells the team that the alien can assimilate and imitate its victims and that it is now living among them. Edvard orders the team to drive to the closest base. However, Juliet and Kate want to prevent anyone from leaving. Juliet lures Kate into an abandoned room before transforming and attacking her.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I mean,
I like it because she's like, "Don't worry, I will show you. I will show you where the keys are. We put them in this shitty desk, in this shit room."
Like, I don't know. At this point, I was starting to get kind of irked with the story changes that they chose. So, like, Kate, right off the get-go, goes full, like, what was his name in the original? Main guy? I can't remember. But...
Sorry, we froze up.
Oh, I froze up.
Yeah. Say it again. Kate, right from the get-go.
Kate, right from the get-go, she goes all in crazy in the same way that he does about halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Of the original.
Well, she's smart.
By that point, they've already had their moments of, like he's losing his mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And knowing the situation that he comes back in, where he's the only one coming back, knowing that people are going to be, you know, wary of him, he preemptively is just like, fuck all of y'all. I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that...
Kate goes, like, into that almost right from the get-go.
Yeah. Kate ain't playing. But I think Kate is smart enough to realize what she's seeing. And plus, everybody was standing around whenever they opened up the alien and saw the copy of their friend. And so I think that there's more proof to everyone that this is happening. While the other one...
But they also don't act like it, though.
They don't.
They act like they don't believe her.
And they probably, because it's dead, that's probably because... Like, they think they got rid of it. They don't think there's another one. But yeah. Winstead found the fillings, and, like, she just is, I don't know, just taking control. And I like that from a movie that's based in the 80s, because, like, you know, in real life, she'd be relegated to, like, here, I need you to cook us dinner. And...
What women can't do actual science.
She can't lead us. She has a vagina. Imagine if she's on the rag, how that thing would come after her.
And that's why the monster's a vagina.
It is.
Strong girls.
Strong girl. like on my wall. Strong Girls Club. I just tried. I was going to put the cat hanging in there, but I said Strong Girls Club. It makes me feel good about myself. But I do think that she takes control under the, like, guise that the other men who have power and money, they don't like it. And so it immediately, like, puts a, like, their distrust of her, sorry, their distrust of the leaders in the forefront, because she is so damn smart, and they're just like, it's okay, don't know, it's fine, it's fine. She is a fucking warrior, and I like that. I don't care if it was too early or not. She did her job. She made me believe there was a thing, and that we were gonna all die.
Well, she escapes Juliet. Juliet transforms and tries to attacking her, and then the dumbest death of the movie when Kate is like running down the hallway. Huh? She's like, run away.
He's like, I'm not running.
Carl comes out there, and you know, it's like, huh?
What?
Where are we running?
Oh my god!
He looks over and it just like lunges into his face.
Carl never had a chance.
And then Lars kills the Juliet thing using a flamethrower, and the team resolve to quarantine themselves until the threat is eliminated.
And see, we all know about quarantine. Like, that's, I like that too about the movie. I felt that way. I was like, oh, I know what this is. I can't wait. Let's quarantine again. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think it would.
No, I'm kidding. It ain't. Because all of us have shots. All of America.
Yeah.
No one.
Oh, well, hold on, real quick.
Yeah.
On a side note on that. All right. So, like, the same thing I used to do at the Ace there.
Mm-hmm.
At the Ace here, you know, if I get kind of bored, I'll scroll the news pages,
mm-hmm.
Which are very conservative leaning up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one that I've seen come up a lot is this report on the effectiveness of the masks,
mm-hmm.
And that on a population scale the masks were ineffective, but on an individual level masks are effective. And so it begs the question, why do you think they didn't work on a population scale? It's because you didn't wear the fucking mask,
or you put it under your you put it on your, you put it like on the bottom of your lip, you know, yeah. Like your chin was where you get the infections.
Yeah.
And you're like, luckily my chin is good. I'm not worried about it. And like,
it'd be so dumb, like during that time when people, they'd come up and talk to you and they pull it get real close and they
pull it down. Excuse me, sir. Where is the scissors? Oh, sorry. My bad. Let me put my mask on. I hate to give you something. No, the damn vaccine and like hearing people's like conspiracy theories on them are like some of the best stuff I've ever heard. You know, like this one guy came in and he's like, you know, ever since I've gotten the vaccine, I've never been sicker. I'm sick all the time, and I know why. It's because of the vaccine. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sure. Maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Maybe you're being around, like, kids. I don't know. But it's not because of the vaccine. But some people think it'll, like, turn you into a fucking zombie and, you know, cause you to have heart failure. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. I was actually listening to our... What was the episode, the found footage one with the conservative radio
dash cam?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I listened to that the other day.
That's funny. I love that movie. That's a good one. We need to do another one like that. okay, let's finish this thing.
The thing. Yeah, so they're all in quarantine. That night, Carter and Jameson stagger back from the crash helicopter. Suspected to be an alien, they are imprisoned in isolation. As the alien does not assimilate inorganic material, Kate proposes everyone be checked for dental fillings. Which is the most, like, weirdly effective thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think about it, truth be told, if you are a normal person, you at some point in time have had a cavity and it got filled. So I like it. I mean, especially probably in the 80s, too. They probably, I don't know if that was new during the... I don't know if feelings have been around since the 1960s. I don't know.
I don't know. It was just weird. Like, it made sense, but it was also like, really? Like, does everyone have fillings?
Not everybody. Not if you floss and do it right.
That's why when, what's his name?
Yeah. So I'm going to get killed because I have flossed.
Yeah. The test implicates Sander, Edvard, Adam, and Colin, who have no fillings. Lars is abducted while going to fetch Carter and Jameson for testing. Carter and Jameson break into the main building, shooting Petter dead and puncturing his flamethrower tank, causing a horribly, horribly CGI explosion.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
like a little JPEG.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And knocking Edvard unconscious. When brought to the main room, Edvard violently transforms, infects Jonas and Jameson, and assimilates Adam. God, there's so many fucking names.
There are.
There's so many people.
And a lot of things happen right then and there at that scene, including the horrible CGI tendrils flying around, knocking stuff over. Yeah. But you know, it literally could rip the guts out of everybody. But it's so frustrated, it can't aim right, you know? Like,
When brought to the main room, Edvard violently transforms, infects Jonas Jameson, and assimilates Adam. Kate burns Jonas and Jameson before they can fully transform. Then she and Carter pursue the thing, which assimilates Sanders. The Sander thing drives off into the night in a snowcat pursued by Kate and Carter. The spacecraft suddenly activates, separating them. Kate falls into the ship and confronts the monstrous Sander. She kills him with a grenade, which shuts down the ship's engines. Kate finds Carter and notices he is missing his earring. Carter indicates the wrong ear, so Kate burns the Carter thing and moves to the second snowcat before driving away.
Yeah, Kate's like, fuck all of y'all.
The next morning, Thule's helicopter and pilot, Mateus, return. Mateus views the ruined station and the husk of the Edvard Adam thing with horror. Colin has committed suicide with a straight razor in the radio comms room, and Lars demands at gunpoint that Mateus show his teeth. Lars's dog, thought dead, emerges and runs away, realizing that the dog is a thing. Lars orders Mateus to give chase in the helicopter.
And then that's where you get the 1982 thing, you know, where they're chasing the dog. So, greatest movie ever made? Who's to say?
No.
No, it really fell apart.
Well, let's let the box office speak.
You know, like I know, the box office is not always a tale of whether a movie is really good or bad.
No, but I feel like I don't know if it has to do with early reviews of the movie or if it was the time period the movie came out, like when it came out. Did people like the thing yet?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was by far. I mean, I think the guys that produced this did the Friday the 13th one or some other remake that got big. And so they were basically given carte blanche or was opened up to the catalog of movies that Universal made. And so they always wanted to do the thing. Once again, I do believe that had it had a true director of horror, this movie could have been good. And if they would have stuck solely to the practical effects with a little CGI. Because you know that practical effects have expanded a ton between 1982 and 2011.
Thing is, I don't think... I already said this before. I don't think the practical effects are that bad.
No, they're good. There was more of them, actually. There was more, way more practical effects in that movie.
Sorry. I meant the CGI.
Yeah.
I don't think the CGI is that bad.
But for a movie known solely for its practical effects, like really truthfully, that's what people love about that movie, is it's tangible. You can touch it. That you go and then make the ending very CGI heavy. You do a lot of other things with CGI. I think if you would have kept it more as a successor to 82's, it would have been a lot more successful. The director was the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And the writing wasn't great, but I did like the cast of characters, even though there's a ton of them. But that's the one thing you got from the...
There's just way too many.
There's too many,
the only ones that, actually stood out to me were...
Lars.
I mean, obviously, Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She stood out in ways that weren't that good to me, no. But...
She could just stand out anywhere, and I'd look at it.
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Let me see. Ulrich. That played Dr. Sander.
Yeah. Not another teen movie guy. He's just charismatic. You know, the guy, the blonde American.
Yeah, and then Eric Christian Olsen.
Yeah.
But so... one thing that was... Like, we mentioned this, how this was the Norwegian camp, but this really got just taken over by the Americans.
Yeah, this is like...
Even then, there was only one... Well, actually, that's not even a Norwegian.
There's
Dr. Sander is Danish.
Yeah, there's three Norwegians, and that all three of them were in the cat at the beginning of the movie.
No, there's more.
I mean,
there's Olav, Petter, Henrik...
The guy from Game of Thrones? The Wildling?
Lars. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Basically, the movie didn't have the right people in place. And so, with a movie so beloved as the 1982 thing, it just had no way to compete. What is your favorite remake of a horror movie? You had to.
I don't actually know. Like, trying to think about it.
Mine would be Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 2003, I think. Because the first one is ridiculous. But I thought they did a good job of modernizing it.
Okay. Sorry, I was counting how many more people there were.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 17 named cast members of this movie.
Really? I guess I forgot about the woman and then the other ones that died pretty quickly.
The original only had 12.
Wow.
And so...
Well...
And even then, the original, we had said in the previous review, it's like, how many of them... Do you remember their names?
No, and I mean, and that's fine. It just has to be a mix of people that have some chemistry together, and I'm good.
Well, I'm fine with characters, kind of melding together, but representing a bigger idea. I mean, an example of that would be, the dwarves in, Lord of the Rings, or The Hobbit. You don't remember all of them.
Yeah.
But you Sleepy remember
Doc.
The dwarves.
No, you know those guys? Dopey.
you don't have to remember all of their names, but they all work as a unit.
Yeah.
And so something that they could have done that might have helped that is in this movie sticking to the fact that you have these Norwegians who some of them don't speak English, so have them more grouped together. You have these Americans in there. You have these like scientists, people, just having more groups of people that, and you know, they might trust each other mm-hmm. more. And there's a lot of like mistrust within the group as a whole.
Yeah, gang them up as in geographical allies, you know.
But I never really felt like when someone, other than the very first time, what was his name? Griggs. When yeah. Griggs was revealed to be, you know, a thing. That's when it was like, it caught me off guard, but it was more confusion on why Griggs.
Or how did Griggs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess stuff can happen off screen, but I don't know, especially at this beginning of the movie when we're still trying to figure out how the thing works. Doing stuff off screen
doesn't work.
Is not the way yeah. to go.
I mean, you could have shown him, like, doing something kind of sketchy, you know? Like,
yeah,
Griggs, what are you doing over there in a so-and-so's bunk? Nothing! Nothing, just checking it out. You know, this is bigger than mine. yeah, I get you. It wasn't good. I like the beginning part because it felt like, oh, this is a cool way to begin. You know, like, it's not the dog running through the snow, but it was a neat way for them to show that they're trying to actually find the ship, you know?
It was so, like, boring and formulaic to me.
Yes.
It was just like, this kind of opening is done when you can't think of more creative openings. And the original thing, its opening is so great because, like, the first thing you see is a helicopter shooting at a dog. And you automatically go and think, oh, why are they shooting at a dog?
Yeah. What's that?
What?
Why did that happen?
And then so when they take them down, like, your first thought is, yes, take down these bad, crazy people who would dare try to shoot a dog. Like, what kind of monsters? And then you see the dog,
you
take it to the thing.
Kill them all.
You take the dog to the cage, and you have the other dogs, like, immediately there's so much tension, and you're starting to, like, you first think, why are they shooting the dog? And then you're piecing that together, but as soon as you've piece that together, it's too late and things are in motion.
Yeah. Sorry, the thing froze up on me.
Yeah, it's been doing that.
I was trying to find a way to, I was trying to see these noises over here and see if there's a funny way to, okay, there we go. Alright, so alright, I was going to do this for the, okay, let's see what we got. Let's see what kind of I want a list. Okay. Alright, got it. Okay. So the thing, and I guess right now, all we have left to do is, will we recommend? Michael. Would you recommend?
No, I don't recommend it.
Okay. How about this? Campbell, would you recommend? No. It's too boring.
No, I thought...
I like it, but I don't. I like the beginning. Watch the first act, people, then stop it. Like, as soon as the creature blows up out of the ice, you're good. That's it. That's all you need. You already know 1982. So, that's all you need. So, Michael, we gotta come up with a new movie. I saw one on the same... I think it was that Paramount Plus... That or Peacock or whatever we watched it on, that I would like to watch because I love the movie, and I just know you're going to love it too. It's a smaller film. It's actually what I consider a bottle film. But if you have a better idea,
well, we don't have to watch this. However, earlier today we were in the grocery store, and yeah, they always have these sections for like DVDs.
Yeah.
Like really cheap DVDs.
Yes, love them.
People just put whatever in them. I passed by a trilogy of movies that immediately piqued my interest is a horror comedy series called Evil Bong.
Oh, the Evil Bong movies?
With Tommy Chong.
Okay. Well, stoner movies are not my favorite movies to begin with.
Look at this.
Oh, I know. I oh my god, damn.
And so there's Evil Bong. There's Evil Bong 2, King Bong.
King Bong. Wow.
Michael. Evil Bong 3, The Wrath of Bong.
Oh, you know what? That would only make sense. That was so stupid. But the movies. That's dumb.
I passed by it, and I was like, oh my god.
That's worse than the Gingerbread Man, Killer Gingerbread Man movies. But the movie I'm talking about is something called The Lazarus Effect. Have you heard of it?
That was actually also in the DVD box thing.
Yes. But it's, well, much better than that movie, I hope.
I probably. It looked more official.
But it's got, what's her name? Fuck, I can't think. Olivia Wilde. And the guy from American Horror Story that's always the guy. And he was Quicksilver in the X-Men movies. Yeah. And it's about a couple of scientists that work for a university that are coming up with a rebirth serum, like a resurrection serum. And shit goes horribly wrong. And it's not the greatest movie, but I really like it. So, all right. You want to watch
Let's
that?
Do it.
Okay. All right. So, people, thank you for listening to the Cat Scare podcast. I'm Campbell.
I'm Michael.
And good night and good luck. Sorry, I'm trying this thing so slow.
You look confused.
I wanted to do her. There we go. All right. Let's redo them. Okay? You ready?
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Cat Scare podcast. I'm Campbell.
I'm Michael.
Good night and good luck.